Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here to hear about Ricky's crazy Canadian Disney cruise. We're going to talk about that because I've only gone warm places, so I can't wait to hear about this one myself. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and we got to get to a lot of information from our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. If you want to head to Walt Disney World in early 2019, there are some great specials out there for you right now. You've got the Play, Stay, and Dine offer that's going to save you money on dining, tickets, and hotels. Of course, if you just need room only, there's a Give the Gift of Magic offer out there as well. So right now is a great time to book an early 2019 vacation to Walt Disney World. But hey, if you want to cruise with Disney Cruise Line like Ricky did, summer 2020 is now available. Can you believe that? 2020. That just sounds weird saying it, but we're booking it right now for Disney Cruise Line this week. And of course, the prices are the lowest the earlier you book. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. Check out all the specials. You'll get a great onboard credit for booking with the Magic for Less Travel. Lots of booking bonuses as well for 2019 packages at Walt Disney World. You're going to come out ahead with the experts over at the Magic for Less. But always remind them you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Please bookmark our Amazon affiliate link on all your devices. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Every time you need to pick up something on Amazon, whether it's we get our toilet paper there so we don't have to go to the store, maybe some new sneakers, maybe a case for a new phone, whatever you get on Amazon, it really helps when you click through our Amazon affiliate link. So again, thanks to everybody who supports us over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1390 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, who's been busy speaking to Disney Cruise Line. I've been talking to them a lot this week. It's been fun. That's what we do. I love the great cast members over at Disney Cruise Line. I know some of them actually listen to the podcast, so shout out if you're tuned in today. And go get some sleep because it's been a crazy week. But we're going to be talking some Disney Cruise Line today. Of course, we sail with Disney Cruise Line quite often. We got the Be Our Guest podcast cruise coming up this summer on the Disney Dream. June 28th, doing a double dip to Castaway Key. Not that I'm excited. And there's still room. If you want to join us, just send me an email. We'll see what we can do for you. But today, we're not heading south. We're not heading to the Bahamas or the Caribbean. We're heading to Halifax. And we're heading to Quebec City. And we're sailing out of New York City. And we're talking about the Disney magic. And the star of today's show is going to be Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky? Eh?
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Gracias.
Gracias.
No, not right. I said a lot of merci, though, so that's good.
All righty. So can't wait to hear about the cruise.
I'm excited to talk. You don't want to hear me talk right now. You want to hear me talk later. So let's bring Pam in.
Let's do that. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who has also sailed the classic ships and has sailed to not always tropical locations. What's going on, Pam?
It's true. And I loved that transition. That seems so professional.
I tried.
I was gonna say, didn't it?
I tried.
Like it kind of.
I'm not professional. Let's just be honest.
It really did. It seemed like we know what we're doing after, 1,300 episodes?
We don't. We try, though.
What's today? I don't know. Whatever episode it is. So, anyways, happy Friday. I'm so happy to hear about Ricky's cruise. I'm excited to hear about it. We had kind of a whole team representing the Mouse for Less and the Magic for Less Travel on that cruise. So it was awesome. They took one for the team, I guess.
They did. All right. Totally. So I can't wait to hear about this cruise. So, you know, like I've said, I've sailed many, many times with Disney Cruise Line, Platinum Castaway Club member. I love that little magnet that sits on my refrigerator. Makes me excited every time I go
I'm
in to get an egg.
Or
there you go. You're gold. Yes. Isn't that sweet? That's awesome. But like I said, I've only gone places where it's palm trees and beach balls and hot weather. So, but I'm very curious because I've never seen New York City myself. Never been to Canada. And I've always said someday, this is one of my dreams. And I know you can't do this on the cruise. Well, maybe you could have. No, you probably couldn't have. One of my dreams, you couldn't have, because I want to go to the heartland of Canada, like Saskatchewan or, you know, somewhere like Calgary or somewhere. I want to go play a game of pickup hockey on a Saturday night in a beer league sometime. I'll get killed because I'm getting old, but that's one of my dreams. I think it'd be so sweet. But anyway, you know, that's just a little bit more about Mike that you didn't care about. But let's hear about your cruise, Ricky. Less about me, more about you. So tell us about your cruise.
I mean, in Baie-Comeau, you could have met I think it was Baie-Comeau. Yeah, you could have met the hockey team there.
Yes.
They were outside. And we met Snorri, who is the hockey mascot. We saw him multiple times. So
does he snore like that? I mean, is he like sleepy? What?
No. He was like a Viking. I don't know. It was weird, but it was really fun. I mean, it was all like in theme with exactly what I would expect Canada to be like. So
let's don't use the word weird. Let's use the word
different. I know. He had a big face with blonde hair. I mean, he looked traditionally Viking. You know, it was interesting.
He doesn't. Have you seen the new mascot? This is totally off topic, but let me ask you this real quick. Have you seen the new mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers?
No.
Yes. I forget what his name is. That is the craziest, weird, the nightmare-inducing mascot in the history of mascots. So maybe he was
okay.
Out there.
Well, nightmare-inducing is so much better than weird. So anyway, let's just move on with the cruise. So we've gone on a very bad tangent to start with. So we sailed out of New York. We got to New York. We heeded Pam's advice, and we got to New York the night before. We always want to make sure we actually do the proper thing and get to the port area ahead of time. So we took our flight out the night before, and we learned a very valuable lesson. You know, and I know that people who live in New York are going to be like, what? You didn't know this, but we don't live in New York. Long Island is very far away from New York City proper. So don't stay in a hotel in Long Island if you need to get to the cruise port, because it will take you a very long time. B, Uber drivers will not drive you there, and they will turn you down. So
I've heard there's lots of people in New York City. I've just heard that.
Like, yeah, we got turned down on our Uber driver. He came by, he said, I won't take you there. And then he left.
Shut up. That's awesome. I love that.
I'm not kidding.
Welcome to New York City. That's exactly a Midwesterner's, you know, like, I've never been to New York City. That's exactly what I picture happening. Like, nope, not going to do it. Slam the door. Gone.
So finally, we found a nice gentleman who would take us. So once we got to the cruise port, everything was very easy, simple. I mean, we breezed right through as per usual. It was just, it's not obviously as themed necessarily as Port Canaveral, because, you know, Disney actually sails out of Port Canaveral all the time. So, you know, there's no big giant Mickey, you know, ears to walk under and things like that. But it was still obviously, you know, you're heading off to a cruise. So it's still a magical place, even, you know, if it's not the, you know, the actual cruise port that Disney Cruise Line sails out of all the time. So but things were very simple, you know, once we got, you know, to the cruise port, it was very easy to, you know, drop off our luggage and find where we needed to go. There were cast members everywhere directing us of where we needed to go. And then we waited for a little bit until it was time to get on the ship. So, again, all very simple. Learned some valuable lessons ahead of time.
Well, I'm going to kind of point you in like certain directions with this, because again, yes, we only have like 40 minutes, and I do want to hear lot about, a bunch of things. And I know that we have listeners that are getting ready to sail this itinerary. They're actually excited for that. I know Christy's.
They're actually on the ship. Well, they just got off. So it was so we left New York City and we went to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Then we went to Saguenay, and then we went to Baie-Comeau, and then we ended up in Quebec. So it didn't return back to the original port until you did the other cruise. So the people actually just got off yesterday, and there were some people that did the, you know, round trip, but most people got on at one port and off at the other.
Well, so Christy was very excited here because she's doing something very similar. So I told her we're doing this today.
There
so
are
she has
some similar ports. But
Okay. Okay, here's what I want to ask, first of all. Okay, you talked about the port. That's very important, getting to the port, because that's a lot different than, you know, most of us are used to.
That was kind of why I wanted to bring that part up first. It's very different than Port Canaveral.
Here's what I want to hear. thoughts of the ship as a whole, because we've sailed many times, the Disney Fantasy, the Disney Dream, you know, the larger ships, the Dream Class. Now you're on a classic ship, which I'm a huge fan of. I love them. They're more intimate. They just, that's my thoughts on them. So give me your thoughts on the Magic. What'd you think of the Magic?
You know, I thought it would be, because you said, you know, I've only sailed the larger ships. So I thought it would be, it would feel small. But really, it didn't. It felt, it didn't feel that much different than the larger ships, I'm not going to lie. There were certain aspects that I actually liked better on the Magic than I do on the Dream and the Fantasy. I very much, even though I love Remy, I very much really liked Paolo better on the Magic. It's got an open kitchen, which I learned the Magic and the Wonder are the only two cruise ships that have open kitchens, because they there's now basically a law that says you can't have them anymore on cruise ships. So that was kind of cool. I felt like Paolo was definitely a little warmer as well on the Magic. The feel of it overall was I feel like a little bit that the one on the Fantasy and the Dream are a little more, because it's a lot more reds and stuff like that. So I feel like it's a little more dreary. It's not, but you know what I'm saying? It feels a little darker. So I also really liked, I really liked that I didn't have to walk as far up and down stairs, which was very handy. I'm not going to lie, when you're walking up and down the stairs, when you get to deck 9 and you have to go up 2 more decks, that hurts your legs there. But when you only have to stop at deck 9, that part is much better. So that part was great. Obviously, you've got Rapunzel's Royal Table on the Magic, which is relatively new. It is I really thought it was a very interesting restaurant. They put on some shows for you in the middle while you were dining. There's for this cruise, because it was a 7-night cruise, there were 2 different shows that we got to see. So I thought that was really good. Now, I do have a little bit of a sticking point with them. We were seated at a table that was kind of off to the side. I found it a little bit hard to hear and be drawn into the story a little bit in those tables. If you're seated more in the middle, I feel like you would be very much more drawn into it. But because of where we were seated, I did feel a little taken away from kind of the story. So just keep that in mind if you are at one of the outside tables. But we also, you know, they have different shows on the Magic as well. So I was excited to see Tangled the Musical, which was fantastic. Disney did a great job. There are a couple of different songs that are in Tangled the Musical as well. And then, of course, they do the Snuggly Duckling Takeover. Oh, my gosh. The Snuggly Duckling
cool.
Takeover.
That looks so cool. That looks awesome.
It's O'Gills, and it is so much fun. I actually ended up showing up late a little bit to it, and I was so mad that I did, because it was seriously just so much fun watching these entertainers. It was completely improv, or it felt that way anyway. So
that totally, to me, looked like the movie come to life cross with Adventurers Club kind of
Absolutely.
Thing, right? I mean, that's from your coverage.
100% felt like that. So that was really cool. I really did like the ship. I liked the spa. I know that the rainforest room is a little different on this ship. You don't get the view out in to see you know, everything. It's enclosed. If you are like me, I really like the hot tubs. The use of the hot tubs, and you do have to go outside to go to the hot tubs in the adult area. Granted, that's not that big of a bummer, except for when it's freezing cold and you have to go outside to the hot tubs like it was
freezing,
on our
freezing,
cruise.
Freezing.
And you have to share it with all the other adults, so it's not just a private hot tub. But I did like that it actually, so on the Dream and the Fantasy, I sometimes feel like I'm drowning because the hot tubs, the way they're angled, I'm a short little person.
You're like 3 feet tall, so I mean, I don't have that problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet,
so I enjoyed the hot tub much better as well. So I really like the Magic. I thought it was a fantastic ship overall.
Let me just ask Pam real quick, because again, you know, I like the Magic and the Wonder too, but if you were, it's like 2 minutes, like for folks that are like, you know, they're veterans of the you know, the Caribbean runs, the Bahamian runs on the Dream and the Fantasy, what are your thoughts on the Magic and the Wonder if you're comparing the two classes?
So there are some people who love that class of ship better. It is their preferred class of ship. They like, it just feels a little smaller. There's not as many people on the ship. The venues are each a little smaller. They just like that more intimate experience. And I don't think the dream or the fantasy are so large that you can't still get that, but I do see the appeal that people have. They like the adult areas better. That's something that frequently comes up.
Definitely.
Classic ships, that they just like the style of the ship. You know, if you've stepped into sort of a Disney atrium, you do kind of, there's a similarity. If you stepped into one, then you're, it's going to feel very familiar when you step into the other. But the classic ships are a little more intimate. There are actually cast members who we knew and became close with when they were on the classic ships, had the opportunity to experience the larger ships and then came back to the classic ships. So there are some cast members that have been on those ships for a long time. These are really experienced cast members. Some people like the food different, the food a little better on the classic ships. And I think that's interesting since they are serving a lot of the same food, but there must be something about kitchen size or whatnot. I'm not saying that one is always better than the other, but that's just one of the things that people mention on that.
Yeah, the way I see it is, it's just, you know, they're two different experiences. You know, I think there's more going on the big ships, obviously, because they have more space to do more things. But I mean, that when you have smaller, you know, less guest count on a Magic or a Wonder, you have the opportunity to have a more intimate feel in shows and experiences with your dining. You know, it's just they're two different experiences. One's not better than the other, in my opinion. And like Jennifer says, she loves the intimacy of the classic. She says the Wonder is the best because she loves Tiana's beignets. Hello.
Sounds good.
Yes. Okay. So, Ricky, real quick, we're talking about the ship, but before we get to the ports and the experiences you had, the stateroom. Tell us about your stateroom experience, because that's what a lot of people want to know.
Absolutely. So, on the my last cruise on the Fantasy, we actually, Brian and I, did a veranda.
Whoa.
And I know that Mike talks about how when you have a veranda, you can't go back. We did not have a veranda on this cruise. We actually sailed, and I'll have to kind of explain this a little bit. We sailed GTY. So what that means is we were guaranteed the type of stateroom that we booked. However, if the ship had been, you know, oversold or whatever in that category, we could potentially be bumped up to a higher category. With this cruise, it was heavily geared older and a lot more of the platinum cruisers and the gold cruisers. So I'm guessing a lot of them took all the verandas. So rightfully so, understandably so, right? So we did not get upgraded to a anything but a inside category stateroom, which, you know, Brian and I were fine with, that we understood that going into it, that there was probably an opportunity that we would not be moving up. So we definitely understood that we may be stuck with an interior stateroom. And I have to say, for us personally, it did not bother us. Now, granted, it's just two of us, so, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, excitement going on in the room or anything like that, you know, little ones running around or anything like that. So for the two of us, an inside stateroom was just fine. And Brian and I have actually discussed this because of the type of cruise that it was, where it was up to Canada, it was cold, and trust me, there were some days, where, especially the second at sea day, where you didn't want to be outside. You wanted to be inside anywhere you possibly could go. So
it was like Pittsburgh in February.
It was so freezing. I mean, we did go out to the hot tub that day, and we were just like, so it was very cold.
We're having such a great time. Isn't this fun? We went on this. I love you. Oh, I love this. We're having so much fun.
I love you. This is awesome. But
this is freaking magical.
So because of the type of cruise that we took, I don't feel like we missed out on anything. The only thing, it's a good thing and a bad thing. The only thing about an inside stateroom is it is all dark, which means you have,
which is awesome for sleeping.
Awesome.
Oh my God. It's the best sleeping ever.
I have a very hard time then waking up in the morning to get me up. And
you can
like
sleep till 2 in the afternoon.
Like, I'll look at my phone and I'm like, it's only 8 o'clock. I can sleep a little bit more. Like,
oh yeah,
you know,
totally.
Because I don't have children and I can. So I, you know, I just didn't have the ability to want to wake up. So that's kind of the only thing that kind of is a bummer. Our stateroom did not have a separate shower and sink. Again, that wasn't really a problem for the two of us because you know, it's just the two of us. And, you know, Brian has a different kind of schedule than I do anyway. He gets up early and goes running. And then, you know, so it kind of works out well for us. So really, you know, we didn't find the size to be too small. It was perfect for what we were doing, and we didn't have any problems. I could see if you had a larger family or little ones or something like that, where you may want a little bit extra room. But for us, it was perfect.
All right. So let's hear about the ports of call, because again, these are places mostly, you know, unless you go on this cruise, you're not going to hit these ports. You know, it's not like most people are going to hit, you know, the Bahamas, or going to hit, you know, Jamaica or Cozumel or something like that if you're going to the, you know, to the Caribbean or the Bahamas. But what did you think overall? Because what I saw, like, if I had to sum it up, again, just watching your coverage, which I appreciate you sharing so much on social media with us. Thanks for taking the time to do that.
Of course.
Was that, and we have a lot of listeners in Canada, and every listener that I've had interactions with through email or social media or what have you, met in the parks, you know, it's true what they say about Canadians. Like, if a Canadian steps on your toes, they're going to apologize. You know, you step on their, I forget what it is. It's like, they're always so kind to you. I probably screwed that joke up. I think I did.
No, it's very true, though.
But, like, it seemed like these communities were just, like, so excited to have you come visit their ports. Was that not true?
Oh, my goodness. I cannot even express how excited these communities were for us to be there. You know, our first port was Halifax. And in Nova Scotia. And that's the one that, it wasn't like they weren't excited about us being there, but Disney has been there before. Mm-hmm. So the excitement wasn't quite the same as it will be the rest of the cruise. But they have a beautiful boardwalk that we walked along to go to the Maritime Museum. We did not plan any port adventures except for one on this cruise. And the only place we planned a port adventure was for Quebec City. I now wish that I had done that one on my own, knowing what I know. But I was glad to have experienced a Disney port adventure and think that maybe if you had some more specialized port adventures that you wanted to take, it would be a better thing to do with Disney. But I had no problem doing things on my own, and Brian and I really enjoyed figuring things out to do on our own. So we went to the Maritime Museum, which I think we were the youngest people in that museum, by the way. It was interesting because Brian actually found the Maritime Museum to be the more interesting part of what we did while we were in Halifax, whereas I found we went to the Citadel as well, and I found that to be the more interesting thing. So different strokes for different folks, right? Even in our own family. So the Citadel is actually, because I believe that Halifax was actually British rule, and so this was a spot where the British had a lookout point, basically, for, you know, invaders. So
Citadel means fortress, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, good.
Yes. Okay, awesome. So anyway. So but the Maritime Museum was interesting because there were some artifacts from the Titanic that actually had been brought there. So that was kind of interesting to see some of that stuff as well, especially, you know, because I grew up watching Titanic on TV. So.
Let me just throw this in here, because actually I had no idea that you went there. But the thing is, I followed them on Twitter, and I have for years. Because the Nova Scotia Maritime Museum.
Really?
And here's why. I'm kind of a Titanic freak. Like, I've always liked the story Titanic since I was a kid. And the thing is, every April, or at least they did a few years ago, they live tweeted the timeline of the Titanic's journey. And so as it was happening, like, you know, in real time, like the day, the minute, the hour. And so they did that. And and I follow them, and they're still a great follow on Twitter. So look them up. I mean, I've never been there, but I followed them. So that's so cool that you went there. You said that. I was like, that's awesome.
Not knowing that you actually like follow them. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So the next port that we went to, and this, you know, it's kind of a tie between this port and Quebec City, I think. But I really feel like Saguenay really rolled out the red carpet for us. You know, you talk about being excited to have us there. Saguenay was so excited to have us there. They had, because we got to that port a little later in the afternoon, I think, or morning, I guess I should say. And they had people that dressed in period clothing that were dancing. They had welcome signs, you know, that they held up. They had the ability for you to eat blueberry pie, drink blueberry juice, because they're known as blueberries. That's what the citizens are known as.
I love it. It's like going to a town in the Ozarks or something on a road trip.
Absolutely. Is. They do something where they pour maple into ice, and it kind of makes it get not hard, but you know, just freezes it up a little bit, and then they roll it on a stick, and then you eat it kind of like a lollipop. Oh my gosh, that was so delicious. I'm not even gonna lie, that was so good. So
do you buy these things at the port, or do they just do them for you?
They just did that for us.
Shut up.
Like, that was just something that they wanted to do for us.
Canadians, so you need to start charging the tourists for this stuff. They have the money. Do it.
They have money. Oh, trust me, the port's got our money. I will guarantee you that. So they had people who were there, and this was what I think a Monday, who literally were lined up. They had it kind of barricaded off. These folks were literally lined up, waiting and waving at us like we were celebrities getting off of some, you know, giant somebody getting off the ship. I mean, I love it was amazing, and I'm so thankful like that they welcomed us that way. Like, it was so cool and humbling and awesome. Like, it was incredible. So,
but Ricky,
if you were one of those people, because that was incredible.
You are internet famous, Ricky. I mean, you realize that, right? They're like, Ricky's on this sailing. Len Testa was on this sailing, of course.
Len
I mean, it's
Testa
like it's royalty.
Sailing, yes.
Is exactly
yes.
It. Yeah.
So, but we did the hop on hop off bus tour. Brian and I did for this one. Again, that was a very interesting, getting to learn about the city. We didn't have any like research. So we did the Little White House, which is basically this, the whole area around this place got flooded. And the only thing that was remaining was this little white house. So that was very interesting. It was great to kind of learn about the history of these towns that you didn't really know beforehand, but it made me more well-rounded as an individual, because I got to learn about what makes this town, what is important about this town. And this was what was important about the town.
I don't mean to cut you off, but which is so different than like the excursions I've gone on in the Caribbean or the Bahamas, because
absolutely.
It's always about like water sports or, there's like Tulum, you know, you can go to see the pyramid and stuff like that. I mean, which is very educational, very historic based, but it seems like everything you did was very cultural, which I appreciate. And with the Disney touch, I think it was the Little White House that had the animatronic, or was that something you saw
later?
Yes. Yeah. Which was kind of weird.
I was not expecting these audio animatronics, and so I walked into the room and it scared the bejeebus out of me, because I was like, oh my god.
All of a sudden you're in the Carousel of Progress in the Little White House,
and like they were so close. I mean, you could get so close to them, and the one I had to laugh in my head, because the one, and I know this is a animatronic of an actual person, but she kind of looked like Sophia from
the
Golden
Girls.
Girls.
I thought that too, like she's gonna start smack talking you.
It was just kind of one of those bizarre, surreal moments in life. But that was very cool to kind of learn about that. Second, I also had some videos of they had a big screen and they were showing Mickey Mouse cartoons. So they definitely were very excited that we were there. So the next port we went to was Baie-Comeau. And Baie-Comeau is the most adorable little town that you've ever been in. It is so small. Matter of fact, they actually had to cancel school for the kids because they needed the buses to take us to the main part of the town.
Well, those kids loved you guys for real. They got out of school because of you guys coming to town.
Exactly.
Yes.
So they absolutely loved us. They had this adorable little Main Street type thing, and it reminded me so much of Main Street St. Charles. Just these cute little shops. They had a cute coffee shop that we stopped in. They had antique store that we went into, and they knew what they were doing. They put out all the Disney merchandise that they had right up front.
Put some ears on that thing. Put some ears and let's sell it for double.
Exactly. They had a brewery, kind of thing that we also stopped into. Got some, Brian and Ben and Kristen got some Canadian beers and ciders. There was this adorable little girl, and she only spoke French, so it was very kind of difficult to have the conversation with her. But she was selling the best lemonade that you can get, and so we purchased lemonade from her, and it really was fantastic. So that was good. And it was this cute, quaint, small town. And I was just adorable. I loved it. It was so fantastic. So, again, really getting in with the culture of the city is kind of what we did in this little town.
I love this. So, Pam, you've done experiences like this, too. Again, I've said this 100 times already on this show. Like, I only go to, like, the touristy Bahamas Caribbean on cruises. But it sounds like this is such, like, the yin and the yang of cruising. And you've done this as well, like, where you get to be part of these towns, which you really don't do when you go into the Caribbean or the Bahamas. So what do you think?
Yeah, you do. I think in places that aren't so traditionally locations that tourists go to, you have opportunities to really experience what the culture is like, right? That's so much of what Adventures by Disney does well. And you also have these kind of opportunities when you do things like that. You know, I think that it's experiences like that that you really take away something. There's so many places you can go and check things off a list, right? Eiffel Tower, check this, check, check. But the things I'll remember about seeing, you know, some of those spots are something that I have meaning with, I had a connection with. And when you get to meet people, or you get to eat the food that they serve there, or you get to spend time, you know, to interacting in a way like that, then I think you have a much more, I don't want to say genuine, because I think all travel is genuine. Whether you're traveling to Walt Disney World, I think that's a genuine experience or whatever, but you have something that you can really go back to and think about that way.
Yeah, like, you're in these people's hometowns. It really sounds, I mean, it sounds like to me, like, the Canadian Pavilion is not really a propaganda film. It's real. Like, these people want you there.
Right.
All right, so keep
Absolutely.
Going. I love this, man. I feel like you're kind of antiquing, you're kind of cruising, you're kind of like, I mean, going to the blue plate specials. I mean, it sounds kind of old, but it sounds kind of fun too. Go ahead.
You know, Pam, you're talking about, you know, kind of taking in the culture of the town, and really absorbing it. Kind of one of the best things we did in Baie-Comeau was sitting, and it was, you know, me, Brian, John, Jeanette, and Ben, and Kristen, and we were all just sitting outside this coffee shop having coffee and talking. Like, you know, it was just a fantastic experience. It wasn't anything, you know, we weren't, you know, ziplining or, you know, doing crazy stuff.
Who has time for that?
Or anything. But it was really just this. It was just adorable. I there's no other way to, you know, describe it. It was just an adorable little setting, and seriously, it's going to be one of the things that I take from this trip, because it was one of the best experiences that we had, just sitting there chatting, and, you know, and that was the best. So, anyway, moving on, the last port that we went to, port wise anyway, and this was interesting because the ship actually overnighted in Quebec. So that was something that really they don't do very often. And so the, you know, all aboard time was whatever. So once we got there, we didn't really have to get back on the ship if we didn't want to. I mean, we had to, you know, get off the ship, you know, to actually go, you know, get off the ship. But, you know, like, you didn't have to be back on at a certain time. You could have stayed out all night if you wanted to, and partied in Quebec City if you really wanted to. I mean, you know, that was really unique, because obviously, you know, we're always so stressed of, okay, I have to get back to the ship at this specific time, you know, whatever. So we did the thing where we did the tour first. Like I said, we did the Port Adventure tour, and they took us to the old, basically the old Quebec City part. Again, so quaint, so incredible. It was a lot of, like, little shops, cobblestone streets. The buildings were all close together. You know, they were all connected, close together type thing. They were brightly colored, you know, doors, and they had it all decorated for fall. And it felt very homey and you know, really awesome to be there. So that was kind of cool. Although I do wish that Disney Cruise Line had switched this on the itinerary. So I wish that we spent more time touring around the old town, Quebec. We saw the Chateau Frontenac, which I have been corrected is not the inspiration, apparently, the Canada Pavilion.
It looks just
so,
like,
sorry,
it.
Sorry, I got that wrong.
It does look just like it.
My bad. So anyway, so we did that. So we got to see the hotel, which was cool. But then we went to the thing that I really wanted to do was go see Montmorency Falls, which was this kind of dam type thing. And it had a waterfall. And luckily it had rained that night. So the waterfall was really coming down. And I really wish that we had gotten more time there, because they had a line where you could go across to kind of get to the top of it, kind of like, you know, the gondolas that they're building. So they had kind of one of those that you could go on. We could have walked around a little bit more and climbed up closer to the waterfall. And we really didn't have time to do that. We only had 20 minutes there by the time all was said and done. So I really wish they would have flip-flopped that, because it was really easy to walk. We actually walked back to Old Quebec. So just some feedback. I know, you know, Disney's probably not listening to this, and they may not go to Quebec ever again, Quebec City anyway. But if they do, I would definitely flip-flop that, or I would have done it on my own. Just kind of a, you know, thing that I learned. But I learned, so that's good. So we walked back up to Old Quebec City, and we had lunch. So we stopped at this cute little cafe. We had a delicious croque monsieur. Oh my gosh, so good. And then I finally had poutine for the first time ever. Yes. I wanted traditional Canadian poutine, and this was definitely traditional Canadian poutine. So it was the French fries and the gravy and the cheese, squeaky cheese curds. Oh, they gotta be squeaky. They gotta be squeaky. So I'm so excited that I get to try it. It was like I was on a mission to find, you know, I know that sounds weird, but I was on a mission to find like traditional Canadian poutine.
Heck yeah.
And like, a lot of the places had the fancy poutine, and I said, no, I don't want that. I don't want it with duck or with, you know, chicken or whatever. I want traditional poutine. So I finally found a place that actually had that listed on the menu. So
you wanted like the White Castle of poutine, just the regular old, like, everyman poutine. Yeah, nice. That's what I'd want.
Absolutely. And then I had it was a maple pie there, and I thought it would be more like pecan pie, you know, kind of gelatinous in a way. But it was more like a pumpkin pie. So that was, but it was delicious. It had a very light maple flavor to it, which was very good. So I did find a Tim Hortons. So nice. I tried Tim Hortons coffee, of course. Got to do that. And then Quebec City did an amazing thing for us that evening. They actually put on a fantastic fireworks show. And I mean, this was incredible. It was a 15-minute show. Fireworks and the view that we had from the ship was just incredible, because you had the Chateau Frontenac up there, and then you had the fireworks off to the side, and just the way it framed was simply gorgeous. We could hear the music. They played Disney music while we were watching the fireworks. They even played some songs in French, which was awesome. Of course, they played Beauty and the Beast with the Celine Dion version. So we had some Celine Dion in there as well. So that was fantastic. And then the next morning, because we didn't have to hurry off, we actually found a fantastic, and I think it's a famous bakery. It's Paillard. And oh my goodness, it was the best croissant I have ever had in my entire life. It was so buttery and flaky. And seriously, the coffee was some of the best coffee I had too, because I had a cafe au lait, and that was incredible too. It was just, oh, I highly suggest finding Paillard if you're, you know, can find one. It was so good. I don't know if it's chain or if it's just there. It was so good.
Did they not play O Canada during the fireworks? I mean, that'd have been the perfect thing to play on the ship. I mean, even if you don't hear it, like, Canada, I'd be crying.
No,
I'd be bawling.
I never heard it. Brian sang it. But I never heard it. Oh,
he sang it in French too, but in Spanish,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah, in Spanish, yeah.
It's a different twist.
That's exactly it. He's saying it in a French version of
Spanish.
You gotta
appreciate the originality there.
So were you the only ship, though, there while they did the fireworks? I mean, they did that just for you guys?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, they did. Yes. They were so excited we were there, because it was the first time the ship had ever been in this port. So because of that, the ports did a lot of unique things for us because of that. Although I have seen that Saguenay did fireworks as well, and they did some of the dancing and stuff like that for, and the blueberry juice and stuff like that for the people who came on the ship just got off, you know, the people that just got off that ship. But the fireworks were specifically for our cruise. And granted, if you were in town the night before, like a good person should be before you're getting on a cruise ship, you would have gotten to see the fireworks in Quebec City the night before, if you'd been in Canada or Quebec City that night. So
what a way to get excited for your cruise, though. I mean, that'd be sweet.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I'd be dying to get on that ship.
The people like came down to by the, you know, the pier, and they got dressed up in costume, and you know, the townspeople actually came down and did all that. It was just a fan. They had fantastic event. I saw food trucks and stuff like that down there. So it was really cool what they did. And it made the paper because I saw it when we were sitting in by
that's our awesome. That's so cool. Paper. So did you bring a copy home? I'd have bought a copy.
I didn't. I should have. I didn't want to steal the copy in case, like, you know, I had to pay for it. You know, like at Starbucks, you can't take the paper. You have
no,
to pay
you
for
buy
it.
One, Ricky. You buy one. They're like a buck.
Well, I mean, the line there was super long, and I Jeanette wanted to go back and get coffee, and she couldn't because the line never got any shorter. So we waited in line a good like 15 minutes for our coffee and croissant, and it was delicious. It was well worth the money. But
nice. Okay, yeah, so go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about, and this was a Halloween on the High Seas cruise.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, I know, jealous. As if there's not enough to throw into this
no
cruise.
Kidding.
It's a Halloween on the High Seas cruise. So we got to experience that. It was kind of cool because we got to see them putting this was the first cruise for Halloween on the High Seas on the Magic, so we got to see them putting up the tree, which was really interesting to kind of watch how that process goes.
Just the fact that there's a Halloween tree, not a Christmas tree, it's a Halloween tree, which
is
cool
looking. It is a Halloween tree. Yes, it is. Basically, it was for us, it was on the day at sea. We had 2 days at sea, so it was on the second day at sea. Guests were invited to wear their costumes, and we saw some very fantastic costumes. You also then, so they had two different times where you could go and participate in Mickey's Mousequerade Party. And that's where the characters danced in the middle of the lobby there. They also did trick-or-treating, so you could go around and you got your little bag of candy.
Nice.
And it's the same bag that they give out at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, so you got a little bag. They played games, so you could do some fun little, you know, games that you could play while you were walking around trick-or-treating as well. There were, I think, about 5 different stations that you could go to. And of course, you could go to them multiple times if you wanted to, although, you know, you didn't want to seem too greedy. So we only went around once. But, you
that's
know, if you really
I'm
wanted
surprised
to,
you didn't go a bunch of times, Ricky. I got to be honest. You're kind of that
I
way.
I was good. I was a good girl. But they also, kind of one of the interesting things that I thought is once the Halloween on the High Seas night started, and I don't know if they did it before because I didn't see it, but they had some of the merchandise that they sell at the Disney parks. So they had the Oogie Boogie popcorn bucket. They also had the Disney parks refillable mug, you know, the one that they're offering right now, that's specialty Halloween refillable mug. I totally bought the refillable mug, not even gonna lie, even though it's, you know, I'm not using it in the resorts. I wanted the refillable mug, so about that. They had the apple you know, a jug thing that people are going crazy about as well. So they had the Disney popcorn, you know, the popcorn bucket that they sell in the parks as well. That's a refillable. They had that too. And you could get refills for $1 for popcorn. That may or may not come back with me when I go to Walt Disney World.
I'm just saying, a quick rant. Why does popcorn cost money on a cruise? Everything else is free and they charge you for popcorn. Seriously, popcorn's the cheapest thing ever. Anyway, go ahead.
I know. I'm with you. But then everybody would eat the popcorn. So,
anyway. Like, you can get as much lobster as you want, but you gotta buy popcorn. What?
You gotta buy popcorn. Yes, exactly. So the last thing we did in the evening, and Mike and Pam, you guys well know that the entertainment and the adult clubs in the evening are just bar none, so much fun. We had a great host in Matt. Matt was a cutie patootie, and so we had so much fun with him. And so the night that they did Halloween, though, they actually, you know, we had a Halloween costume contest for the adults. So that was so much fun as well. So many people got into it, really dressed up so fantastically. I can't even imagine how much went into some of these costumes. And they talked about how much went into some of these costumes. People were sewing and, you know, doing some fantastic stuff. So people really went all out. It was just a lot of fun to get to see kind of what people did. So that was Halloween on the High Seas, and it was definitely a lot of fun that day.
All right, so what was our crew? What were you and Brian for Halloween?
So I was Minnie Mouse, and I had you so guys original. Have seen my dress that I wear all the time, and I put on the ears. Brian's costume was a little more interpretive. Brian,
hey, don't throw him under the bus. He's not here. Come on now.
No, I've said it multiple times that his costume was interpretive, because he, we went to the Disney store here in Atlanta, and the clearance section, they had a kind, you know, like the Hawaiian shirt material, and it had Wally all over it. and it was yellow and it had Wally all over it. So he went as Wally.
Well, so he actually Disney bounded, apparently. That's kind of what that is, right?
Not really, because he just wore a Hawaiian shirt with kinda. Wally all over it. So
it's closer than being Wally. I mean, I would say more Disney bounded than became Wally if he just wore a shirt.
He went as Wally.
He's such a bounder. Yeah. Okay, so real quick, because we're running a little long, and I don't want to go too long. This is great. I totally want to book this one now. Like, and I totally had no interest before.
Yeah, it was so much fun,
this.
And I hope that Disney does this cruise again, because it really was a lot of fun by the time all was said and done. Like, it really was so much fun.
So you kind of mentioned this earlier, but I would imagine, just guessing, time of year, destinations, type of cruise. We always typically sail in the summertime on the bigger ships. This one skewed more adult. So how did that make the overall feel of the cruise go? I'm sure you saw families too, though.
I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard there were only 300 children on the ship. So not a lot of kids. I mean, the kids club, if you had a kid and you wanted to be in the kids club, you really did have the run of the place, because, the cast members were probably very, there for you, because there weren't a lot of kids on there. That spanned all the different age groups of the clubs too, so that was kind of insane, because I'm so used to sailing in the summer and there being just a ton of kids. Again, it did skew a little bit older, partially I think because of the time of year of the cruise, partially I think because of the fact that it was the first sailing of this itinerary, and you've got the Platinum and the Gold cruisers, and they really like to be on the first sailings of these inaugural itineraries, so I think that helped to skew it kind of older as well. It was definitely different, though. It was very quiet, I will say. And part of it is maybe because a lot of people were inside and stuff like that, but I really didn't see a lot of people, and I don't know if that's because of the Magic is smaller, or just because of it was skewed older or what, but when it hit 8 o'clock, I didn't see a lot. Like, there weren't a lot of people walking around.
That's my cruise, baby. Sign me up. Get up early, go to bed early, and we eat at 4 o'clock. What's up?
So but of course we did go to the clubs in the evening, because I learned that on the last cruise, that you definitely want to go to the clubs in the evening, because they're so much fun. And they really were. They were a blast. And you had your usual crew who hung out in the clubs in the evening. But even that, it wasn't like super packed, although it did fill up, as time went on. It was a very chill cruise. I've got to say, it was so laid back, which was awesome. So that's the best way to describe this cruise, is really laid back and chill.
Okay, so main dining was at 4, late dining was at 6:15. No, just kidding.
It felt like it.
That'd be my kind of cruise right there. I'm just saying. Okay, so real quick, because this is what I love about cruising. So what was we're long, but just wrap this up pretty quick. So what was like the one unexpected thing as far as like maybe an event that happened in the clubs, like some kind of onboard entertainment? Like, I love like the hypnotist, or like the guy who saws people in half on the Dream a couple years ago, pulled something out of his nose, stuff you don't sign up for, but you like. Is there anything like that?
I got this. And it was honestly, I did not think that I would enjoy this. I sat there. It was one of the first things that we did, or the first, entertainment acts. And it's this guy named Marcus Monroe. All right. And Marcus Monroe is a juggler / comedian. And the words I have for this, and I mean this in the most loving way possible, was hot mess. But I mean it like it was hot mess that worked. There was another show that was not so working later on in the cruise. But this was just, he knew he was a hot mess, and he played that up. Like, he really did. He was so entertaining. I have video that I'm going to post on the Mouse for Less eventually. I think I'm going to do some vlogs that I recorded while I was gone. And I have some of his act, and
I think I've seen this guy. Did he like try to juggle and like his balls hit the ceiling? Like,
Yes.
Okay. So he's been on one of the cruises I've been on too. He was a mess, but that must be his act. And please don't take that quote out of context, by the way.
I was worried.
I laugh like a 5-year-old. It's fine. I know that's his shtick, and I can tell it's his shtick, but it was totally entertaining. And at first I was like, all right, let's watch this guy. This is going to be so dumb. But it really was entertaining. So I very much enjoyed him. Yeah, hot mess, but he was fantastic. So, yeah.
All right, well, Ricky, thanks so much. This seriously is... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, never mind. I already talked about it. Snuggly Duckling. Okay, go ahead. Yes. Never mind. We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So, real quick, we're going to wrap this up. But, like, 2 minutes, yes. Pam. I mean, this is one of those unexpected itineraries where I think, you know, you think of Love Boat, you think of tropical places, you think of, you know, hot weather, swimming pools, and wave runners. Totally not that, but, I mean... Something that it's, I mean, like, I'm pumped up to try something like this. And it sounds like you've done this, and it is kind of a different experience, but a fun experience.
It is. And that's why I think that Disney Cruise Line keeps opening up different itineraries. They keep taking people to new places. I mean, with 2020, look, we're going back to Hawaii. You have Panama Canal again. And you're sailing from New Orleans. Right? I mean... That's what's great is that they keep offering these kind of opportunities. The European cruises in the summer are exceptionally popular. And who else do you want to cruise with in Europe than Disney? I mean, you know that they're going to have activities that appeal to your children. They're going to try to tailor some excursions that appeal to the whole family. But on those shoulder months, like at the beginning of the season and the end of the season, they're going to have fantastic itineraries that will have more adults, like Ricky has said here. So they really have something that appeals to everyone. And the other thing to remember is I think that Disney does a multi-generational cruise in a way that other cruise lines just aren't quite as good at yet, right? If you're going grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, and grandkids, you know, and kids... That I think that there's just always something that's going to appeal to everyone. So I think that Ricky, you know, talking about this was a great example of don't be afraid to look at some other dates or some other itineraries or whatever. I know that people, the second they hear that it's not going to Castaway Key, they're like, but it's all okay. Absolutely. It really and truly is. You're still sailing with Disney Cruise Line.
So. Absolutely. And if you would have, I mean, you know, at first I was like, okay, I don't know how, you know, because I'd only done the Caribbean cruises, I don't know how entertaining this cruise is going to be for me as far as the ports of call. But really, it is what you make of it. And, you know, we made it fun and special and really, like I said, absorb the culture of Canada, I feel like, that's what made it fun. So, and, you know, I feel like that, you're right. I wouldn't want to sail in, you know, the European countries without probably Disney Cruise Line or maybe with the net of Disney at first, because I would want to have that safety net of, okay, I understand how this is now. Then maybe I would want to go back on my own after I've gotten a taste of it. But at least I feel like with Disney, I have that safety net of, okay, now I can see what this, you know, now I can see what the taste of it is like. And I think you learned that on your cruise with, that you just did, Pam, too. So.
All right, so last question. We're way long, but I got to ask this because for the old school listeners, they got to know. Did you catch Lantesta doing any shots of maple syrup? I mean, you're in Canada, for goodness sakes. I mean, if you're ever going to have a relapse, it would be on this cruise for Len.
You know, I did not catch Len because I don't even know if he stopped and ate the maple when we got off in Saguenay, because I saw him before we got off the ship at that port. But then they left us and we hung out on the top deck for a little bit longer. And I didn't even see whether he ate the maple there. So he's going to have to let me know.
He's a recovering maple syrup addict. So wondering. Anyway. All right. Well, you know, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks again, Ricky. It was a lot of fun. And it really opened my eyes up to some new experiences. So thanks for sharing. And where can people check out the pictures? Because you took a ton of pictures while you were on the cruise and videos.
I did. So I'm going to be posting them on my own Facebook. So, but I also posted them on some pictures on Mouse for Less, all of their social sites. And then I posted it on the Be Our Guest podcast social sites as well. And then, like I said, I did take a lot of video in hopes to vlog a little bit about this cruise. So that's my goal, is to sit down and really kind of piece these videos together and make either one or multiple days worth of vlogs so you can kind of really see what this cruise was actually like. So those will be on the Mouse for Less at some point.
All right. Well, sounds great. And thanks again for hanging with us today, because we know it's a little bit longer show, but, you know, definitely an experience we haven't had over the last 10 years.
No.
And glad to hear about it. I'm excited for this.
Sure.
So don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Again, the 2020 summer itineraries are out, son, on New Orleans, heading out to Hawaii, Panama Canal. Lots of great places. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great details. Of course, the experts, you know, the agents at the Magic for Less, they're experts. They sail the ships. They know the itineraries. They can help you with all the required documents you're going to need to sail and, you know, when your payments are due. And the best part, here's the best part. You get their expertise for free, and they basically pay you for booking with them. You're getting a nice onboard credit to spend on, you know, the rainforest room or to head to Palo. Whatever you want, man. It's money waiting for you when you get on the ship. I mean, hey, when in life does that ever happen? Hey, let's go somewhere.
That's
yeah, there's money waiting for you when you get there. Right there. So just drop by themagicforless.com. Right now is the best time to book, because the earlier you book, the better your prices are going to be, and you're going to get the first choice at those staterooms that are the most desired as well. So again, just drop by themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Don't forget to support the show when you shop on Amazon. So brguestpodcast.com/Amazon is that link. Thank you so much for using that. Give us a follow on the social. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike, and drop on the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. It's been a long one, but thanks for hanging with us. We hope you you enjoyed the show. And maybe you're saying, hey, maybe you need some maple syrup right now. Who knows? But the good thing is, it's the weekend. So whatever you do, stay safe. We're going to get out of here. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm wishing you a great weekend. I'm Mike. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.